Welcome to another episode of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell. The Thunder has just dismantled the Lakers, 105-86. All kinds of defensive records set in this one, at least for this season. 86 points is the fewest points the Thunder has allowed to any opponent this season. 86 points is also the fewest points the Lakers have scored in any game this season. Neither team had much going on offense. The Thunder had a little more than the Lakers. Anthony Davis and LeBron James, obviously the Lakers star duo, combined for just 28 points. And before we started recording, Barry, you have nominated Lou Dort as the next Prime Minister of Canada.
Well, I mean, there's an obvious reason for that. I don't know that he's having been born in Canada, he's not eligible for the White House. So we got to settle for what we can get. But I thought Lou Dort was really good against LeBron. He had a lot of help. The Thunder game plan was good, which is get your butt back on defense and set up a wall so that LeBron can't, you know, get to the basket and transition. But I thought Dort was well. I thought Andre Roberson played decent on LeBron in a few minutes when he was on him. And just all in all, you know, when you hold Anthony Davis and LeBron James to 10 of 30 shooting and only let them shoot a combined, let's see, 12 foul shots, that's excellent defense. And that's, you know, that's what won them the game tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are two guys who average a combined 52 points per game. So the defense on LeBron was pretty special. And, like, he did miss more at the rim than he normally does. Like, something seemed a little off. The Lakers also just clinched the number one seed on Monday. So they don't have – it's not like they have not even a ton to play for. They don't really have anything to play for. They're just trying to stay healthy and get in shape for when the playoffs start. But still, the Thunder, obviously, this game meant more to them. And you could really tell from the outset, Lou Dort, a pretty gutsy move, I thought, to pick up LeBron James full court. He did it at other points in the game. I asked him about it afterward, and he said that was the game plan. And, you know, Steven Adams had some more insight on that. He said that, you know, Lou picking guys up full court, Dennis Schroeder does it some as well, but that – it takes a little extra time to bring the ball up. The Lakers got into their offense a little later in the shot clock, and that's something I wasn't even thinking about, that, you know, even doing something like that can throw off the rhythm, and the Lakers' rhythm was certainly thrown off. But Lou Dort, for facing LeBron James in his first time, for the first time in his career, he's pretty special already defensively.
Well, you know, another benefit to that is, you know, LeBron's, what, 35 years old? He's playing point guard, for crying out loud. So the more you make him exert energy anywhere, the better. So let's see. What did he play? LeBron played 30 minutes tonight. So if you can make him, you know, sweat more, which that will, you know, picking up a guy full court, just an added benefit. But yeah, I just the defense was excellent, not just on those guys. I thought the defense was really good on Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
he's 3 of 11 shooting. He had 2 offensive rebounds. LeBron had 1. So, you know, you're doing an excellent job on those guys. Here's something I didn't even think of till after the game, but I thought of it during the game. In the fairly early in the second quarter, the Lakers threw the ball to a guy who's, I wasn't even sure, hey, who is that? And he made a 3, and you know who it was? It was Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
The first time I noticed Kyle Kuzma was even playing tonight was, you know, 4 minutes into the second quarter. I went back and looked. He didn't even take a shot. He played 6 minutes in the first quarter, didn't take a shot. The Thunder did an excellent job on Kuzma. So that's a guy that can go off on you. So, I thought the defense was really locked in. Fouled a little too much in the first half, but cut that down in the second half. And if you don't, you know, if you don't commit a lot of fouls, you know, you're gonna be in pretty good shape.
The Lakers' shooting numbers were just atrocious. They shot 31 of 88. That's 35% from the field. They were 5 of 37 from three. That's 13.5%. And then they were 19 of 29 from the free throw line, 65.5%. So, like, they did not shoot it well from any point on the floor. And I know this is, like, not a Lakers team that's at full motivation. It's not at full strength. Rajon Rondo, he's moving closer to return. They certainly can use him. They're missing Avery Bradley. I thought, the Thunder will play the Clippers later on. But to me, I'm not ready to pick who's going to emerge out of the West. But the big difference between the Clippers and the Lakers is that the Clippers bench is incredible and they go really deep. And today you saw it, this Lakers bench, Kuzma was off, Caruso didn't do much, Deion Waiters jacked up 13 shots, Markieff Morris was 2 of 6, J.R. Smith 0 of 3, Quinn Cook was 1 of 5. The Lakers bench was just not very good.
No, it's not very good, just to be honest with you. I mean, Markieff Morris, we know all about Markieff Morris.
And Deion Waiters.
You want to see. And Deion Waiters. That was a Deion game and a half tonight. You know, he's a man. What a piece of work he is. You can criticize the Thunder for a lot of things, but you have to say this. In 2016, they got the best out of Deion Waiters. That year they made the Western Finals. Dang near took out the Warriors. You know, Waiters was a very valuable sixth man. He's clearly regressed. But anyway, yeah, it's not a deep team at all. Thunder's not either. Thunder bench tonight was not very good, but offensively. But defensively, Diallo was, you know, not bad. Robertson, you know, got in the way. Nerlens Noel made his six fouls really matter. So I thought defensively the Thunder bench was pretty solid.
Andre Robertson tonight scored his first points since January 27, 2018, when he ruptured the patellar tendon in his left knee. So that was pretty cool to see. And also, like, he's kind of past the point now where it's just a cool story and, like, oh, this remarkable comeback. Like, he's getting minutes against LeBron James, and I think that's a really big step to show that, you know, Billy already trusts him in those spots. Like, what have you thought of Andre's defense?
I thought it was best tonight because he's going against LeBron and didn't get embarrassed. A couple of the other games, he's clearly sort of been rusty. You can see where he's got some defensive chops in previous games, but still a little rusty. Tonight, you know, it was I thought it was better or best. So I'm reasonably encouraged about Andre. I don't know that he can play. He played 11 minutes tonight, and he walked off the court there at the end. I don't know what that's all about, or near the end. He left the court before the game was over. I don't know if he was sore or got hit or what. But I'm more encouraged about him tonight than at any point since I've been watching this bubble.
Yeah, I mean, he can help off the bench. And like you said, you know, decent defense from those reserves. They're certainly missing Dennis Schroeder, who we didn't get an update on today, but he's not with the team, so theoretically that 4-day quarantine period hasn't started of when he would get back into the bubble, so he's going to at least miss a couple more games. Off the bench, you had not a ton of scoring. Hamidou Diallo was 3 of 4. Abdul Nader was 2 of 5, 1 of 3 from 3. Darius Bazley was 0 of 7 tonight. They're still looking for more offense. Nader, 7 more points, Barry. I don't know if Billy's still listening to us or not.
Well, yeah, no, Nader wasn't quite as sharp tonight.
No.
But I still like him. You know, he went in at one point and play and guarded Markieff Morris. When Markieff was playing some power forward, I think Billy said, you know what? I think you can keep up with that guy. So that was good. Tonight would have been a valuable time for him to be hot because the bench was not doing much. But I will say this, without Schroeder, they went 1-1 without him. They're 2-1 through the toughest part of the bubble schedule. Jazz, Nuggets, Lakers. That coming into the bubble, that was Denver, Utah fourth in the West, Denver third, Lakers first. So now it eases up a little bit with the Memphis, Washington, Phoenix axis. And then we'll see what happens. Miami and the Clippers, we'll see if that Clipper game or even the Miami game matters when we get to next week. But coming out 2-1 in the first three games of the bubble is about all you could ask for from the Thunder. And the truth is they're a Chris Paul foul shot away from being 3-0.
Yeah, and this one probably makes up a little bit for that Denver game where I don't think you would have projected them to go 3-0 to start, but 2-1 makes sense. So now the Thunder are 42-25, tied with Houston. Oklahoma City has the advantage in that tiebreaker, so they're fifth, a half game out of fourth. Utah's in fourth at 43-25, so a game up in the win column. A little more on the point guards, especially with Schroeder gone. It's really interesting to me to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander run the offense on his own. And I wrote about it a little today. I was surprised even at how little he has played point guard this season. According to Basketball Reference, it was just 4% of the time. So anytime Chris Paul is off, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is on and running the offense. He did not play well tonight. Shai was 3 of 11, 13 points. Chris Paul was really, really good. There's some people who think Shai is like a long-term two guard, that he's going to play off the ball and isn't a natural point guard. I know it's like early to say this and like can't use these games as an example, but like what have you learned about him sort of leading the offense on his own and like his future as a lead guard?
Well, I think he has the potential to be a quality NBA point guard, and I like what he can do. You know, I'm old enough to remember the early talk of Russell Westbrook's first year or three in the NBA and people saying he's not a point guard. Well, you know, turns out he was a point guard, and because he can do a lot of different things that other people can't do. And SGA is the same way. I think Ben Simmons is a point guard too, and this, you know, there were people in 1981 trying to turn Magic Johnson into a power forward also. And, you know, the good sense of NBA wisdom, you know, prevailed against that. So there is always prejudice and kooky concern over non-traditional point guards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much as we all love, this is not a criticism of Chris Paul, but the truth is people really want all their point guards to be like John Stockton and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But God made a lot of different kinds of point guards. And we've seen one for a long time in Oklahoma City named Westbrook. And we can see, somebody like SGA, I think could be, he doesn't have to be, he could play wing. Well, if he plays the rest of his career with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder, I probably would leave him at wing. But, you know, at some point, I think,
big enough.
Yeah, at some point he's going to need to be the point guard, and I think he's more than capable.
Yeah. We talked a little bit at halftime, and you noticed that, like, after the Jazz game, you wrote about how they just attacked Rudy Gobert, Shai specifically. Do you just chalk this up to a bad night against Anthony Davis, who's a superstar defensive player and protecting the rim?
SGA looked a lot more passive against Anthony Davis than he did against Rudy Gobert. I found that interesting. We all think Anthony Davis is a premium defensive player, but most people would say Rudy Gobert is the NBA's best defensive player, most dominant defensive player. SGA would not vote for a Rudy Gobert, I promise you. He looked like he would vote for Anthony Davis. He didn't even really try to score on Davis when he had the opportunity to drive to the basket.
Yeah.
He repeatedly tried it against Gobert. Maybe that's, you know, some complicated coverage thing we don't know about. That's quite possible. But, I found that the dichotomy of those two situations pretty interesting. And I'd like to have seen SGA attack more because, frankly, when he would probe and then not attack, things generally didn't work out very well. He wasn't scoring on mid-range, and he was throwing the ball away, and he didn't have a lot of assists. It was not SGA's finest game by a mile.
Yeah, he finished with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. Chris Paul, I mean, as always, he was very good, 8 of 12, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He was plus 25. He did turn it over 5 more times today, so his assist-to-turnover ratio was 6 to 5. So that needs to be cleaned up. The Thunder has not taken care of the ball over these first 3 games. Tonight wasn't as bad. The Denver game was really bad. Barry, you asked Chris about it after the game, and he took full responsibility.
Yeah, he said, I asked him if it was a rust factor because Billy said, you know, it's been an Orlando problem since they got down there, even in the exhibition games. And CP said, it's not a rust, it's a me factor. So I do think he's been a little sloppy. Tonight, he had 2 or 3 just silly plays that he knows he shouldn't be playing like that. He generally doesn't do that. So I think that's the easiest solvable problem that we know about for this team. So I tend to think they'll get that worked out. I really do. I don't think that's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah. Chris Paul taking care of the ball would probably not be the main concern.
Yeah.
Into the postseason.
Yeah.
A few updates on the injury front. Steven Adams looked like he might have suffered a catastrophic injury, and turns out he's pretty tough and healed very quickly. I mean, real time it looked really bad. It was in the third quarter, kind of a driving layup hook shot again over JaVale McGee, and I couldn't tell if it was like his ankle or knee, but like his leg just like buckled beneath him and supported all of his weight basically as he fell, and he was limping up and down the court until they called timeout, and he just goes straight to the locker room and then comes back in not too much longer. He wasn't too concerned when you asked him about it after the game. I think he could even tell us what he injured. An appendage.
It was an appendage. So, you know, I didn't even look up the meaning of that word. I guess I need to. Is an appendage either arm or leg? Is that sort of the theory?
I think so. I'm looking it up.
But, maybe finger or toes. My wife says finger or toes, perhaps. So, I don't know. But he's a funny dude. I liked his game a lot tonight, though. I thought Adams was much better. You know, he struggled against Jokic. Of course, I told somebody it was sort of dogging Adams. I said, let me tell you who struggles against Jokic. Everybody. So I thought it was a really good
against Davis too. So
yeah, that's right. He was really good against Davis, and Davis really never got into any kind of flow, I didn't think. So I thought that was a very, very good comeback for Adams. And he scored 7 of 10, 18 points. What day did Davis finish with? What did he finish with? Sig? Did he get 10 points?
Or? He had 9 points on 3 of 11 shooting.
You hold Anthony Davis to 9 points, and guess what? You're beating the Lakers.
Yeah.
And that's what they did tonight. And it's mostly Adams, although Gallinari started the game out on him. I think Billy was just trying to avoid getting a foul in the first minute and 2 fouls in the first 4 minutes, which is probably pretty wise. So I thought it was all in all a pretty good comeback for Adams. I really liked his game a lot.
On that note, so I mean, Adams, it doesn't seem like that's anything that's going to be serious. Terrence Ferguson was out again with a leg contusion. Don't have much clarity on when he'll be back, but that also doesn't sound serious. And then, like we said, Schroeder is out. And also Mike Muscala, the injury we talked about from the Nuggets game, he did sustain a concussion, so he's entered the NBA's concussion protocol, and that too doesn't have a definite timetable, so he'll be out Well, he was out tonight. I don't know if he'll be back on Friday or not against the Grizzlies. So we will see on that. The Lakers.
You know, they almost who would have thought this? They almost needed Mike Muscala tonight because Adams gets hurt. Nerlens was in foul trouble. He ended up fouling out fairly early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Adams had to come back in. Who would have thought, you know, they actually needed Mike Muscala in this game, but they almost did.
Could have had some Darius Bazley at center time. That's what everyone wants.
I'd have made Lou Dort the center at that point.
Well, if you're going to make him the prime minister of Canada, then it's not a stretch to make him the five on the Thunder.
Oh.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they both played 30 minutes tonight. I had no idea what to expect coming in. If one, they would play, two, how much would they play? Would they play in the second half, in the fourth quarter at all? They actually played more than I thought they would, but still, like,
yeah.
This did not look, this was not the Lakers A game tonight. Like what was the level of motivation from Los Angeles in this one?
I think, you know, I actually think the Lakers are fairly motivated. LeBron played dang near till the end. He only played 30 minutes, so they subbed him in and out. But he's in there playing with 5 minutes left in the game, and the Thunder up 17. I think the Lakers were motivated to snap out of their funk and find a rhythm because they haven't played great. You know, they've been okay in the bubble. But you know they're trying to find a step as well. You know every team is really that's down there except the Phoenix Suns, the unbeatable Suns. So everybody's trying to find their footing, and I think the Lakers aren't worried so much about place in the standings before or after cinching the number one seed. I think they're really trying to find a rhythm. And I think that's why you saw Davis and LeBron play tonight and play extensively, even when the game was mostly lost.
Billy and Chris Paul were asked after the game about, you know, kind of along the Lakers' struggles, but with the four-month break combined with the level playing field that the bubble has created with no home court advantage, everyone's sleeping in the same kind of hotels, eating the same food, has the same sort of schedules. Like it could not be more level. And he was asked, both of those guys were asked, like, does the Thunder have a bit of an advantage in that? And Chris Paul, as he normally is when asked about the Thunder's chances, was quite defensive and brought up an ESPN stats and info or basketball power index stat from the beginning of the season that gave the Thunder a 0.2 chance percent to make the playoffs. And he was asked after the game, like 0 to 10 or scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you guys for the playoffs? And on a scale of 1 to 10, he said 0.2, referencing that stat. So I don't know, like, Chris Paul, he does not let those sort of things go. But, like, what do you make of the theory that, you know, this sort of environment might level the playing field a little bit?
Well, I do think it does level the playing field. There's no question about that. For one, there's no home court advantage. When we get to the playoffs, 1 versus 8, you know, there's no home court advantage. 4 versus 5, no home court advantage. There's also the effects of the 4.5 month layoff. That this is almost like a new season, only you're playing with the same roster. You didn't pick up any free agents of note, or you didn't have any trades of note. It's the same teams, except a different season, 4.5 minutes later, and all kinds of things happen, like Avery Bradley, you know, opting not to play, like Dennis Schroeder missing games because of the birth of his daughter. So I do think it is more wide open. I do think we have the chance for more playoff upsets going by the seeds than ever before. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Pushing that forward.
And also, and playing in environments they've never played in before. Yeah. When you're playing in a convention hall with no fans except some goofy, you know, board that's got a bunch of virtual stuff and, you know, not much crowd noise one way or the other. And, you know, you, every once in a while you see a coach with a mask and, you know, you think you're playing on the planet Zoltron. So, you know, anything can happen, you know. So to me, I do think it's going to be, I do think it's going to be a lot different than anything we've seen once we get to the playoffs.
I know leadership storylines can often be overblown, but I do think the Thunder, if they have an advantage, it is Chris Paul in that he was so key in helping facilitate this and also like keeping everyone in line. I know he's not single-handedly responsible for the Thunder having no positive COVID tests since the NBA started testing, but they were one of the few teams that didn't have any positive tests. They were one of the few teams who, you know, no one opted out. The only thing they've dealt with is Schroeder leaving for a perfectly reasonable and expected reason. So I think like he has, like he's clearly the voice of this team and clearly guiding this team through this. And like not every team out there has a Chris Paul on their team.
I completely agree. I love Chris Paul, but I got to thinking about this. Back when he was the enemy, which was, you know, before last July, one thing we like to say in Oklahoma City is remind people about Chris Paul's lack of playoff success.
Yeah.
He had, before he got to Houston, he hadn't had much at all. He ended up making his first conference final when he was with the Rockets, never made the NBA finals. He's been on really good teams. I would, you know, when you talk about those Clipper teams, those were outstanding teams, and they just, you know, just sort of never got over the hump. Thunder took them out one time. So I don't know that I blame that on Chris Paul. He seems like the consummate playoff performer. And if he doesn't get hurt, you know, in that game six, I think it was, against Golden State, they might take out the Warriors.
Yeah.
But, you know, it to me, it's a conundrum. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul with his playoff situation.
Speaking of playoffs, the Grizzlies.
Playoffs?
The Grizzlies, who are the Thunder's next opponent, at 3 p.m. Friday, are in a free fall. And they had a terrible injury. Jaren Jackson Jr., is out for the year. So, I mean, that's a huge loss. It totally changes the playoff race in the West. The Grizzlies looked like not a shoe-in for the playoffs, but they certainly look like a shoe-in to make that play-in tournament. You know, if that ninth seed is within four games, like it's certainly going to happen in the West. I mean, they could even fall out of ninth. They're in eighth right now. They have a two-game lead on San Antonio and a one-game lead on Portland. But they're 0-4 in the bubble, and this is a terrible schedule they have coming up. They have the Thunder, they have the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Bucks. You don't want to finish the Raptors, Celtics, Bucks.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the play-in. I think they'll get caught by the Blazers and perhaps the Pelicans, and heck, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody else. You know, that's a tightly bunched group. So,
yeah,
I think Memphis is in trouble. I feel sorry for him. Jaren Jackson was really good. Although I will say this, in some ways, I'm glad Jackson is out, because I watched a good chunk of the Grizzlies game the other night, and the announcers, I can't remember, I think it was local guys, can't remember who they were playing, New Orleans, I think. But I don't know if it was the Memphis announcers or the New Orleans announcers, but any reference to him on the court was Jackson Jr., acting like his last name is Jackson Jr. His last name is not Jackson Jr. His last name is Jackson. I don't want to know why America has fallen off its common sense here. His name is not Jackson Jr., his last name. His last name is Jackson, so okay. Call him Jackson. I'm going to call him his first name, call him Jaren Jr. His first name is Jaren Jr. It's just a little pet peeve of mine.
I'm going to have to out myself here. I have been guilty of writing. I actually thought about it the other day when the Thunder were playing Michael Porter Jr. And first I had Porter Jr. and just standing alone. And I thought about these writing tips emails, pretty legendary, I would describe them, that you used to send out earlier this year, whenever that was. I don't even know how long it's been. But I was corrected on it once, and I was like, man, this is something I should have known. And you're bringing it up now, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty of saying, well, Junior.
Because you've been indoctrinated by the American Sportscasters Association. So Jaren Jr. is not going to be playing for Memphis, and it's a tragic blow for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what the, like, facing the Bucks for your last seeding game, I don't know if the Bucks are going to play anybody, but, like, if they do, finishing with that schedule, like, 0-8 is a possibility, or certainly 1-7 is at this point. So it's terrible news for the Grizzlies. It makes that 8-9-10-11, even the Pelicans and the Spurs have the same record. It's going to be a fascinating race, but that will be the Thunder's next game, again, Friday, 3 p.m., against the Grizzlies. And I think that's going to do it for tonight. And we'll recap that Memphis game on Friday. So thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Please like it and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.